since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We just talked about the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's flip sides and talk about the Phoenix Suns, who blew a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals, become the, I think it's the fifth team in NBA history to actually blow a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Been a little while since we saw this. You'd have to go all the way back to Dallas and Miami. I know we saw a 3-1 series lead. Actually, we did see a 2-0 series lead in the Golden State-Cleveland series, but still, it's odd. You don't see it too often. We saw it last night. Milwaukee wins four straight. Joining us right now to talk about the Phoenix Suns, we have Jameson Welsh, who is always kind enough to join us again. He's been a Drive Time Sports NBA insider for the last decade. Jameson, great to get you back on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me, as always.
We just talked about the Bucks and what they managed to put together, four consecutive wins. Let's flip. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. And you and I had a conversation during that last commercial break about how fortunate Phoenix was to get to the finals to begin with. Okay, when you go back and you look at the road, yes, they beat an unhealthy Lakers squad, an unhealthy Denver team, and then an unhealthy Clipper team. I don't know if Phoenix is better than any of those teams that they beat, but they took care of their business, so you had to tip your hat. Then they get to the finals, and they take advantage of an unhealthy Bucks team in Game 1. Giannis is great in Game 2. Phoenix still comes out on top, and Jameson, at that point, it looks like, okay, the stars have aligned. This is Phoenix's season. Did the Suns just pass up their big chance to win an NBA championship? And I guess the better way to phrase that question is, did the window close last night?
Oh, the window's shut. Unless they make a crazy trade or get someone we don't know they're going to get. Yeah, that window, they had a window this year with this roster. Everything kind of broke right for them. I remember, obviously, in Lakers series, Anthony Davis gets hurt when they were down the series. They played the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. You know, they beat the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. The play to go up 2-0 in that series, it seemed like everything was aligned for them. And they got up 2-0 in this series, and they couldn't close the deal. Those are some of the things that will bug Chris Paul and Devin Booker for a long time. Because in games 4 and 5, they had their chances to win those games. Especially in game 4. I go back to game 4 of this series. Phoenix was in control of that game for most of the game. They couldn't close it out. And once I saw that, I knew Milwaukee had a really strong chance to win the series, because games like that, the better team finds a way to win those games, and they just could not close. They couldn't get it done. So I'm looking at it now, look at the roster they have. They're ahead of schedule, but with the roster they have and the way the West is, man, they're not the favorites next year to come out the West. I have no Lakers. I mean, depending on what happens right now, I think the Lakers are part of the favorite next year. But we'll see. I mean, a lot of stuff that goes on. We don't know what's happening with Dame in Portland. We don't know what Denver's going to do. Who's going to make that big trade for a player that we don't know that's available. A lot of what-ifs going on right now.
Yeah, when I look at the Western Conference and the idea of this was Phoenix year, I mean, just let's look at the teams and what we know is coming back next season, okay? Because there's a big question mark. And if Chris Paul comes back to Phoenix, we don't know. The Lakers, yes, I would expect them to be much better than Phoenix next season. I can say the same thing with the Clippers. If Kawhi comes back healthy, I know that injury throws kind of a wrench into the whole equation, but they're not better than a healthy Golden State team. I think we can agree on that. They're not better than a healthy Denver team, and I don't think they're better than a healthy Utah Jazz squad. So when you really look at the Western Conference, it's going to be tough sledding to get back to this stage in the game. Chris Paul is going to be the big question mark in the offseason. Does he come back to Phoenix? And I guess that all kind of depends on if he wants to cash in on one more major payday. But if he does cash in on one more major payday, we're talking about a 17-year vet at point guard. That's going to hamstring this franchise moving forward. So I just don't know what to make of this Phoenix Suns team going into the offseason.
It's a very, very rough situation for everybody involved. Also, they got to start paying people. They got Ayton coming up. You got to max him out. You have to. Like, there's no, now you got to max him out. Bridges is going to get his 4 for 70+, maybe even 4 for 80. You know, so there's guys that they got to take care of sooner than later. And that time is ticking. We know that historically, Robert Sarver has been, you know, very cheap when it comes to extensions and contracts. We'll see what happens with the Chris Paul situation. Does Chris Paul want 3 years? You give a 36-year-old point guard 3-year contract. I wouldn't, but We're going to see what takes place, especially one with the injury history of Chris's. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens there, because it's one thing to make a surprising run. It's another thing to sustain it. We saw last year Miami made the same type of run. Don't really expect them to make it. They made it, and then what happened? You know, so we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see what takes place.
Jameson Welsh, you get our guest right now as we talk about the Phoenix Suns and the missed opportunity last night falling to the Milwaukee Bucks in six games of the NBA Finals. Still with everything that I've said, I almost feel like we're discrediting Phoenix, Jameson, and I got to make it perfectly clear. I don't believe either one of us are doing that. Yes, they were not as good as some of the teams that they beat, but it was a battle. It really was a battle just to stay healthy this season, and it just so happened that Phoenix was a team that stayed healthy, and I think there's obviously some stock in that considering how crazy this NBA season has been.
Well, no, definitely don't want to discredit Phoenix. They did what they were supposed to do. You know, when you're the healthiest team is usually the team that wins it all. So they did what they're supposed to do. They took care of business. There's nothing wrong with that. However, when you give up a 2-0 lead with home court advantage, that's a problem. You know, that's a huge, huge problem. That's something that, hey, you know, we cannot, under any circumstances, overlook that. The great teams that win championships, they don't do that. They don't give up 2-0 leads. That just, when you're up 2-0 in a seven-game series in the finals, you got to find a way to win, especially, like I said, the game four was the one. Game five, it is what it is, but game four was the one they had control of and they let slip away.
Yeah, and I think if you go back and look at, let's look at Dallas, for instance. They blew a 2-0 lead to Miami. It took a while for Dallas to get back on that stage, and they had to do it with a different core. I think one of the aspects that, see, this is something that I don't think we talk enough about, the mental aspect from an athlete standpoint. I can't even imagine the exhaustion that Phoenix is feeling this morning of getting that close. I think it takes a toll on you, Jameson, especially with the condensed offseason, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. I wonder how they recover from this.
So we saw last year Miami and the Lakers have issues with injuries, right? We're going to see the same thing next year. Phoenix has played a lot of games, and now they're going to be half their roster playing in the Olympics. So, yeah, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. Like, you got guys going straight over there playing. Like, that's a different, not half, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Milwaukee. But you got some guys playing in the Olympics, and it'll be Devin Booker. And that's going to be tough, man. And to come back in October, play a full schedule, that's not going to be good. That's not, trust me, we're going to see an injury of some sort that changes the dynamic of the team. Not praying for it, not hoping for it, but just what we've seen the last year or so, it's destined to happen. The teams that make those long runs aren't going to be good. Same thing with the Clippers. They're not going to be right next year. They're just not. This doesn't work that way. So we'll see what happens, but no. Phoenix is a situation where they have a young core, they have a good situation going forward, but man, their training staff better be ready, because these short turnarounds are unforgiving, and we know better than most.
Yeah, as far as the short turnarounds are concerned, we're going to get even a shorter turnaround. I know it's not 60 to 70 days of a turnaround, but you have to factor in the Olympics this offseason as well. And the NBA's plan is to move forward with everything starting in October. Now, to put this in perspective, here we are on July 21st. A traditional NBA season would end in early June. Now we're talking about the idea of a season beginning in October. The draft is right around the corner. Free agency is right around the corner. We're going to have new faces and new places. This may be an even more challenging offseason than the one we came out of following the pandemic, where the season started in December, just based on the fact that so many of these guys are playing in the Olympics. You brought this up, Jameson, during that last commercial break off of the air when you said to me the NBA is literally running off a fraction of its players, a division of its players, especially the older ones. It's literally running these guys out with the condensed seasons.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically cutting off a section of its players. I mean, when you're playing this many games in this few days with lack of rest, and you're trying to satisfy all these TV contracts and agreements, somebody has to take a sacrifice for that. And that ain't the fans, it's the players. The players in these teams are the ones taking the hit. And it's very unfortunate, but everybody makes a deal. And when you make a deal, you got to deal with whatever comes with it. And it's unfortunate, but we all kind of know what's going on. How many star players, how many high minutes guys have gotten hurt over the last year. It's been a lot. It's been a lot of guys that are, you know, from Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, to Kyrie Irving, you know, just Anthony Davis. There's so many guys getting hurt. There's all, you know, all NBA teams worth the guys that have gotten hurt. And not like the small injuries. There are injuries that are keeping guys out for the season or keeping guys out for the rest of the season. That's not good for business overall, but I get it. No one wants to give up money, so the show must go on.
Jameson Welsh, you get our guest right now. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, of course, let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Of course, on your show, on Twitter, at the Jameson Vegas, ESPN 1100. And, that's it for right now, so it's pretty cool.
Jameson, always a pleasure. I know we'll catch up again soon with the offseason. It's partially some of the most exciting times of an NBA season when you can look at what's going on during the dead months of free agency. I'm looking forward to catching up with you again then. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We're going to get out for another quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Bill Lasky, former pitcher of the San Francisco Giants, now an analyst for the squad. We'll talk about the fireworks last night at Dodger Stadium as the two best teams in baseball will go at it again tonight. That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.